We're turning to Ruth, chapter 2, as we continue our study of this lovely book. The book of Ruth and the chapter 2, and I want just to read three verses at the beginning of the chapter. Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap. That's an old, old word that simply means, and it happened. And it happened. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. May the Lord bless this brief reading from his word to all our hearts. As we turn the page, as it were, and come to the second chapter of the book of Ruth, we are here introduced to one of the principal characters. I feel that I would be right in saying the principal character in this wonderful story. His name is Boaz. It was through him that Ruth enters upon prosperity, upon security of life. And it was through her union with him that she became one of the progenitors of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a glorious thing it was for Ruth to meet this Boaz. It had not only an impact upon her lifetime, but undoubtedly it had an impact upon her eternity. I want, first of all, then, to notice with you, firstly, that at the beginning of her new life in Judah, for Ruth, a special relationship with Boaz begins. Now, the chapter 2 undoubtedly is referring to events that would have happened literally the next day after she arrived. These things would have taken place very, very quickly after Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, had arrived in Bethlehem. And it reminds us, men and women, that so it is with every new believer, every new convert. There springs up a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Boaz. If you haven't got a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are not a Christian. If there is not in your heart, in your thoughts, a special place for the Savior, then don't think for a moment that you're saved. Because you see, those that are truly saved immediately enter upon a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. They care for His name. It hurts them to hear His name misused. They care for His Word. They may not know very well what is in His Word, but they care for it. And they do not take lightly any denials of its truth. They have a desire to learn more of it. They care for His day. They look forward to that day because it is an opportunity for them to turn aside from everything else and give themselves to fellowship with Christ. Now, if you do not have that relationship with the Savior that I have very simply and in very general terms described, then you're not a Christian. There are many today who profess to be saved, and the things they say about the Savior, about His Word, and how they act on the Sabbath day, and the light way they treat the worship of the Lord, indicates to me that really, they don't know Him at all. Rather, they are numbered amongst those who on that great day will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not in Thy name prophesy?" And He will reply, "I never knew you." There are many in that category who don't really know the Lord, who haven't a special relationship with Him, though somehow or other they think they have. But the special relationship that springs up from day one of Ruth's taking up residence in that holy land which God had given to His people is a wonderful picture of the relationship between Christ and the individual Christian. You will notice that it was in the fields of Boaz that Ruth finds sustenance. If you're a true Christian, you can't live except by that which comes from the fields of Christ. You can't live. Whatever else may be produced in the fields of this world, it won't satisfy you. It's only what grows in the fields of Boaz that satisfies your soul. The Lord Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Might I say that here are the fields of Jehovah. In this book, there is a reaping. There is a plucking of the sweetest of fruits, which alone will satisfy your soul. Again, it was under His eye that Ruth found protection. She didn't know one soul apart from Naomi in the land. But immediately, she came under the protecting eye of Boaz. Look at the verses 8 and 9. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eye be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. I'm looking after you, Ruth, says Boaz. You'll be all right with me. What a glorious picture, even in those two verses I have just read to you, you have of the area, the territory to which the Christian should restrain themselves. Here's our world, young people, and don't ever go beyond it. The fields of Boaz. Don't reap anywhere else. Don't be going into the world. Don't be looking out to what appears to be most attractive over yonder. For it will do you no good, and it will bring you to ruin, as it brought the prodigal to ruin when he went to the far country and left his father's house. Oh, do you understand the analogy here? Do you see the picture that the Lord is giving us? If there's one thing taught throughout the Bible and taught under innumerable likenesses, it is that God's people should be a separated people from all the world. And they should walk under the shadow of the Lord. You know, when we're looking at pictures, someone visits and they've brought pictures of an event in which you may have an interest, and they say, here's one of so-and-so, and oh, here's another one of so-and-so, and here's another one of so-and-so. And they're all pictures of the same individual, but because there's a slight difference in each one, and a different presentation of the person, you look at each one. You don't say, oh, I don't want to say that. One's enough. Sometimes you might feel like that, but if you have an interest in the individual, you'll be happy to take different pictures and look at different sides to the individual and different settings in which they're pictured. And in the Bible, you have wonderful, wonderful series of pictures in which we are given from varying angles and different aspects this truth concerning the believer, that they are to be separated unto the Lord and not reap in other fields. Do you understand that? Keep in with God's people. Keep close to Jesus Christ. God help us to do that. Never was easier today to get away from the Lord. We think of the change that has taken place in the whole realm of transport. Years ago, you just could not go too far from home. It was so difficult. The transport, well, it just wasn't so freely available, and it cost a lot of money, and it was difficult. Now you can sit at a computer and you can visit the far ends of the earth, and you can visit places that you ought not to visit. Oh, in these days, when there are so many holes, as it were, in the hedges around the city, be careful. And stay in the fields of Boaz. It was under his eye then that Ruth came to enjoy protection. It was through intimate union with him that she found everlasting honor. Her acquaintance with Boaz began here in the chapter 2. But it grew until, as we know, they were married. Their friendship, their association, reached its ultimate manifestation when they became man and wife. And there was born of that union a child, one of the forebears of the Lord Jesus. Now, do you see developing there a wonderful picture? It is as you and I get closer to the Savior and our association, our relationship with Him deepens, that there is born of our relationship with Christ offspring that are holy and pure. I'm speaking, of course, of spiritual offspring. The man of God in former times when God visited His people and gave blessing and gave revival, men who were walking with God, they were the source of many converts. It was through their labors and their witness that many were converted. Don't you see the picture? The family of God increased. The number of the children of God increased as a result of the deepening of the relationship between these godly men and the Lord Jesus. Couples who live apart never have a family. You see, today there's a barrenness upon the church because God's people live apart from Christ to a large degree. And there is not that fruitfulness to their spiritual relationship with the Savior. But here with Ruth, this relationship with Boaz, as it deepened, it was the means whereby she came to everlasting honor. If she had never married Boaz, you and I wouldn't be talking about her today. We wouldn't know about her today. Don't you see? It was as a result of that relationship deepening and blossoming and bringing forth a son who in turn fathered the line from which the Savior descended. And consequently, we speak with honor of Ruth, all because of that union. Here is the way to honor. Here is the way to so live for Christ as to find yourself written down in the annals of God. It is to seek after and cause to develop that blessed relationship, for it will bring us to honor. If you're a Christian, you are an honorable person, but potentially great honor awaits you. Listen to what Peter had to say, 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're somebody if you're a Christian. Now, Peter was writing to basically those that the world looked upon as nobodies. He was writing to, among others, slaves. Those who served within Roman households and who were nothing. They had a name and that was it. Not another possession. They didn't possess the right to do anything of their own volition. They were the property of their master. The way his dog was, his donkey was, his kettle and his pan were. They were nobodies as far as this world is concerned. But to them, Peter says, ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Meaning, a people who have a peculiar, a wonderful relationship with God. Set apart from all other people. A redeemed people. Bought by the Lord. For Himself. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ruth came to everlasting honor through her union with Boaz. And it is our union with Christ that in like fashion will bring us to everlasting honor. Do you remember the woman who poured the alabaster box of ointment upon the head of the Savior? The Lord Jesus said, everywhere this gospel is preached, mention will be made of her. And I'm fulfilling that very prophecy of the Savior here before you today. I'm mentioning her because the Savior said she would always be mentioned. She came to everlasting honor, springing from the intimate relationship she had with Christ. She loved Him. She loved Him. And there has never been a language, and there has never been a nation, and there has never been a generation in which that woman has not been mentioned. Everywhere the gospel has gone, she has come to honor. Because of her love for the Savior. And because of her love for Boaz, Ruth came to everlasting honor. Everlasting honor. Oh, my dear Christian, please understand what it is that you have been brought into by way of a relationship with God when you were quickened and regenerated. In the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 26, the verse 18. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He hath promised thee, and that thou shouldst keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which He hath made in praise, and in name, and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as He hath spoken. Now that was spoken of the nation of Israel, but it can be applied to the people of God generally. that everyone that's born of the Spirit of God is an inheritor with Abraham of blessings such as this. You know that I love the words of the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah was a great woman. The women of the Bible, you know, were all great women. I don't mean all of the women, but I mean the godly women of the Bible were all great women. Wonderful people. And if she was about today, I'd have her come and bring a word to us. Oh, it might outrage some reformed brethren. Dead old sticks. But I'd rather listen to the words of Hannah any day. Now listen to what she has to say as she prayed. In chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. We'll read all of her prayer, for it's worthwhile. And as you read it, say in your heart, Lord, teach me to pray like that. Teach me to pray as you taught Hannah to pray. That's what the disciples said, teach us to pray. Well, you can say the same as you read this prayer. And of course, as you read other prayers in the Bible, pray exactly the same. Teach me to pray like this man, this woman, praying. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. Oh, hallelujah. You never think you could have a big enough mouth to out-talk Adams and McGinnis and these boys, but God could make you. And so enlarge your mouth as to speak over your enemies. Drown out their words with words of truth and righteousness and praise. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. That's what God does. He breaks the mighty, and poor critters that are just stumbling along, he strengthens. Strengthens. That's a promise for today, men and women, because the Church of Jesus Christ is just stumbling along. So many are tripping and falling into the dust. Pray God will do what Hannah believed he did for his people, and gird those that stumble with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry ceased. What an abundance there is in America. But overnight there is an area with tens of thousands of people and they haven't even bread. We're be saying more about that tonight, but just think of that in the light of what is said here. They that were hungry have ceased from their hunger when they look to the Lord. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth, you see, and maketh alive. He's on the throne. And nobody tells him what to do or what's wrong and what's right. The Lord killeth. That's a doctrine to shock, and it's a doctrine to frighten. Just you remember that the Lord can end your life. He can take it away from you if your ways offend him. But he also maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. That's what the Lord did with Ruth. She was only a Moabitess. And I suggest we don't even rightly understand the significance of the title that's repeatedly given to her in this book. I think it's 5 times. But in grace, God took that woman from Moab and raised her to honor. How? Through her relationship with Boaz. Through her relationship with Boaz. Oh, how marvelous it is for us to note this. Now, very quickly, I want us to note, secondly, that Boaz was a notable man. If you just look at the introduction to him in the verse 1, he was a mighty man of wealth. I have a lot of things to say about Boaz, because he is a wonderful type of Christ, and the only way I'm going to get them said today is if I skimp on them, and I'm not going to skimp on them. But rather, I'll give you a little sample, and then we'll come back to it next Lord's Day in the will of God. But he was a notable man. Search out for yourself and notice that he was the rejected redeemer. That's the first thing we'll look at. Then the second thing we'll consider was that he was a man with a wonderful name. And the third thing, he was a man of great wealth. Now I hope that that will percolate and cook and simmer in your soul until next week. And maybe you'll have much more to tell me about the matter as a result of your thinking and meditating upon it. But may the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning and bless it to us. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this blessed book. Hallelujah. And Lord, we've only got the door open a tiny little chink. Just a wee bit, Lord. We've hardly much more than turned the key. But Lord, throw it to the wall. Open it wide, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, come and bless us. And apply thy truth to our souls. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.